Welcome to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. On this show, you'll receive tools for relational health that you can apply wherever you are on your journey in love. You'll learn how to anchor your security within you so you can co-create balanced, interdependent relationships that fill your cup. Let's get the love flowing. Becoming Secure in Love starts now. Hello, I'm Love Coach Mariah, and you're listening to Becoming Secure in Love on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Stick with me for the next hour, and you'll learn how to touch your own heart. In every episode of this show, we examine the challenges that love can present and explore the various ways to shift from push and pull to peace of mind. Topic of this episode is self-expression. Wave your freak flag to signal your tribe. I use that bit of, it's sort of a slogan these days, just to, you know, point to authenticity. So I have with me my dear friend, Michelle Ouellette, here to discuss this fun topic. And I brought her on to be a shining beacon of an example of someone who's, you know, a human with her own fears, but not so much afraid of being authentic and following her heart. So Michelle, thank you. I'm delighted to have you joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Exactly. It's the final show, right?
It is. Yeah. I haven't quite mentioned that yet, but yes, this will be the final show. And folks in North America listening to this will be the day before Thanksgiving. And, you know, in essence of giving thanks and gratitude, I'm just super grateful for you and for getting you on here.
Me too.
Good. So, you know, the thing about authenticity, especially for those of us with insecure attachment, is that it takes a lot of bravery because we have to sort of overcome our fears of being judged and rejected and abandoned. And so we often will like contort ourselves and, you know, shrink ourselves a little bit, you know, diminish the things that pretty much anyone has ever like shamed or shunned us for. And, you know, we don't want to risk any of that. So we just play it small. And then we end up surrounding ourselves with people who might sort of resonate with some sort of false version of us, but don't resonate with our truth because we're not like living our truth. So at the end of the day, we do sort of have to, those of us with the stronger wiring for these fears, we have to overcome that fear of being rejected by the people who are not aligned with us in order to like signal and welcome the people and things that are aligned with us. So, and really that's the only way that, you know, we can bring our full selves to the table and be fully seen and feel fully accepted and loved as ourselves. So, you know, I know it's scary, but for anyone listening, I assure you it's worth it. And others do it and not only survive, they thrive. And so I wanted to invite Michelle to maybe tell a couple stories. We'll just kind of sprinkle them in throughout the show. But do you want to give us a little start of how your follow your heart journey began?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I think as a kid, my mom often says I was pretty independent. So I liked to do my own thing. I would like get up super early in the morning when I was 5, 6 and older. And I would like plan my day, go out with my friends. It was back in the, obviously the 80s. And there was a freedom that we don't quite have. And I wasn't in a big city either. So, but I would just, yeah, I would do my own thing all the time. And, and then I guess I left New Brunswick, the East Coast of Canada, when I was 19 to go to London, England. And most of the decisions I make are kind of on a whim as well. Like I just, something comes up and I just feel inspired to do it. So I do it. And that's kind of the way my life has been. You know, I haven't been one of those people that plans things out. I just sort of, if something grabs me and something inspires me, then I do it. So going to London, and then which eventually led me to Montreal, where I am now. And, you know, how I decided to do my university degree in film production, and it, all of these things, just things that popped up on my path, and I sort of jumped at them. And that's the way I've been living my life. Yeah.
Has anyone ever said anything, you know, in the general vicinity of, like, you know, maybe not literally this, but that message of, like, who do you think you are? You know, that you get to deserve to take up that much space, that you get to follow your bliss while the rest of us suffer, that you're allowed to prioritize yourself and your heart and your dreams.
Well, not quite in those words, but mm-hmm. I think maybe my parents misunderstood me a little bit. Mm-hmm. My mom, you know, would question. I mean, I think at some point she just got used to the fact that this is who I am, but, and I think she quite enjoyed the ride, you know, seeing how I would do things so differently from her. But there were times that she would question, you know, is film production really the best idea? Is mm-hmm. London really necessary, like, for 2 years that you need to go and live and work there? And these things kind of scared her. But I think as for, like, my peers, no, I don't ever feel that, not overtly. I don't have anyone say to me to my face, you know, who do you think you are? But I think I've had close friends say to me that, you know, they're surprised sometimes at my ability to not organize everything and to let life guide me. Definitely.
So my follow-up question to that then is, was that ever, it sounds like it's not, but was that ever a voice in your head?
Not when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Since I had my son, maybe a little more, because there's somebody else involved.
Yeah.
So I don't have that sense of, like, anything is possible. I can't just drop everything and leave, obviously. But yeah, maybe having a child changes things a little bit. Yeah.
Understandably. Yeah. I think there are, sadly, a good chunk of us with that voice, you know, that who do you think you are voice. And it, I think it's also one of those, you know, manifestation things where we tend to call in our fears. And so anyone who's, like, susceptible to worrying about that, like, you know, who do you think you are, is going to see it. And it definitely, it'll come up online a lot, you know, if you're, you know, posting things or whatever and being bold, you know, and people, who do you think you are to say that? What do you know? You're not an expert. Who do you think you are taking up all that space, being all big and loud?
Yeah. And I've experienced a little bit of that too, because I, you know, I am a little bit impulsive, and sometimes I'll just do the thing that I feel like doing. And I've had a bit of trolling. I've had people reacting. And yeah, it affects everybody, I think. But, and there's been times that I've definitely doubted myself too, of course. But I think, like, my spirit, who I really am, is someone who likes to experiment in life and try things. And that is really a big part of me. So it would be really hard to squash it for a long period of time.
Yeah. That's awesome. So just briefly, a couple, like, and we can maybe dive into them a little bit later, but some of the highlights, you were a model, you've done music, film production, and you became a sommelier.
Yeah.
Did you go to a particular course or school for that?
Yeah. Here in Montreal, I went to, it's like a hotelery school, basically. So they teach everything from chefs to the business aspect of running a hotel or a restaurant, and to become a wine steward, a sommelier. Yeah. So I
speak French so much better than me.
it's the perks of being in Montreal for nearly 30 years. Yeah. Wow. It's been a long time.
Tell me a little bit more, refresh my memory about your musical adventures? What did you do there?
Well, yeah, I did, like I said, I spent 2 years in England and in Europe. I was in Italy too. And then somebody that I met in Italy at a Club Med that I was working at, basically suggested that I come to Montreal to attempt modeling. So that was the reason I came here in the first place. Hmm. So a lot of the things that I've done in my life have been like that, meeting somebody at the right moment who makes a suggestion and it sort of aligns with me and I decide to go for it. So then I came to Montreal and I ended up, trying my hand at modeling, which I found to be a little superficial and not for me. So I ended up working in the restaurant business because of that, and then decided to go into film production on a whim again. A friend of mine was applying and I was like, yeah, that sounds really cool. I think I'd like to be on that side of the camera. So I applied and got in like within a month of the deadline. And that's where I met my boyfriend who would bring me to music. Mm. I come from a musical family, but he's a musician. And I just started learning how to play guitar and decided pretty early on to start composing. And I wanted to go on the stage. I wanted to do shows. And he was like, you just started and you want to do shows? And I'm like, yeah, I want to do shows right away.
I love it.
Yeah.
So just with the film production, did you produce any films or were you in a school? Did you complete the school?
Yeah, it was at university. It was at Concordia. And okay. It was a 4-year program and it was back in the days of analog. So I produced, directed, edited. I did a lot of the things for 4 short films. So it was awesome. I was probably one of the only students who arrived who like literally didn't do my like homework before. Most of the people in film production have been like preparing since CGEP. CGEP is like something that exists here in Quebec, but it's like pre-university. And I didn't do any of that. And in fact, my boyfriend that I had at the time was like, how did you get in? Like, I don't get it. But so I did one of my first films and it was the best one I did because I was literally just jumping around with the camera. And like, I had a script, but it was very loosely written. And it ended up being the best because I just had no constraints, no fear. I just did, you know, I did something that was very fresh and new. And so, yeah.
That's so cool. You inspire me. I love it. I have a couple more questions about music and also about like your version of the what will they think of me? What will they say about me? Or a lack of that. But before we dive into that, I do want to take just a brief break. Grab a sip of water and we'll come right back. You're listening to Becoming Secure in Love, From Push and Pull to Peace of Mind with me, Love Coach Mariah, and my friend, Michelle Ouellette. We've been discussing her wild adventures of following her heart and living to tell the tale. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about fears and overcoming them and all the joys that can come from authenticity. Stay tuned.
Damayanti, where style and beauty meet timeless wisdom. Damayanti, wearable mantras in sacred Sanskrit. Finely crafted and etched with beautiful reminders of your inner beauty and strength. Made in America and shipped directly from us to you. Damayanti, the place to find beautiful jewelry specially made with love. Go to damayanti.store now to find the special mantra that speaks to your soul.
You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabeltz.com. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's DENEE.com.
When a caterpillar spins its cocoon, it undergoes a radical change. It lets go of the parts of its past that hold it back and reforms itself as an entirely new and beautiful creature. Are you in need of a similar rebirth? Dr. Tasselfaith is your priestess of metamorphosis, guiding you as you spin your cocoon and realize your greatest change. Metamorphosis. Lead with your magic, trust the unseen, experience quantum leaps. Live on TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
Welcome back to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. You can find me online at lovecoachmariya.com. And women looking for community around these subjects are welcome to join my free Facebook group, Empowered Compassion. I've created a space off social that you can find at empoweredcompassion.community. And my guest today is my friend, artist, explorer, and mother, Michelle Ouellette. Before the break, we were discussing a bit of her adventurous story, and we were just about to explore a little bit more of that and get into the benefits of overcoming some of our fears. So, Michelle, you were explaining that you had gone from modeling to the other side of the camera and got into film production, produced 4 short films, did everything pretty unconventionally. And then remind me, what was the transition from there to music?
Well, yeah. When I finished my film production degree, basically I was dating somebody around that same time, and he was a musician as well as a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And he had his own like music studio in his apartment, so it was easy to record. Gotcha. There as well, of course. And that's the thing. I come from a musical family, but I just had never really explored it a lot mm-hmm. when I was growing up. And it's funny because I think I had like, this is maybe contrary to what we think about me, but I remember that back when I was young, I was in a choir, I was doing a lot of different things, and I had like one role. It was Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, and I was like in grade 6, and I remember that I had like a moment when I was doing the play at the very end, when I had to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I wasn't able to like, it's a challenging song vocally, and I wasn't able to sing it to my liking. And I don't think I ever really told anybody, but it kind of, I like did a shutdown because I wasn't pleased with the way I did it myself. And so singing kind of, oddly enough, took like, I just never really did it again. And I never wanted to do it in public. Mm. And so when I met this person, I was like 25, and he heard me singing, and he said, "You have a really good voice, and you know, you've never really done anything with it." And I was like, "No." So as soon as he said that to me, it was like enough of a push for me to say, "Well, okay." And that's when I went and did some singing lessons, and I decided to do guitar lessons. Like I just went all in, like 100%. And because he has a studio, it was easy to like record things with him, and we would play around with composing together. And so I actually made like a little album. I found another guitarist that was looking for a bossa nova singer, and I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. So I went and like met him, and yeah, so I really explored, I would say from 25 to 30 something, you know, putting on shows, and it was a fun moment. It was definitely a fun moment. And then when I broke up with this person, I kind of lost the whole community that I had created around music. And I tried to find other people in my 30s, but it's actually quite tricky to find someone that you have the same interests and time schedule and that, you know, objectives. It was, I found it to be challenging. I did have other experiences that were fun, but nothing really that was permanent.
I love the fact that, like, so you and I have both like dabbled in a variety of different things, but like your version of dabbling is like so much more extreme than mine. It's so fun. I think, you know, kind of back to that, like, you know, who do you think you are fear? There's also like, you know, what will they think of me? What will they say about me or do to me? I can't let them down. I can't abandon them. I can't offend them, you know, and this actually even goes to broader, even more mundane things like leaving a relationship or leaving a job. In fact, I have a friend who is listening to this, who is struggling to leave a job that she knows is not quite a great fit for her. And she feels very compelled to stay for the people who are going to struggle even more, you know, when she leaves. And I'm just like, you know, it's not really your responsibility. Like, you don't have the CEO hat or whatever, like the person whose responsibility is to make sure that transitions go smoothly and everyone in the company is adequately resourced. And, you know, the fact that most people aren't, including you, doesn't mean that you have to like go down with them all, you know? So just these fears of what people will think about what feels aligned for us and what we feel called to do. And the, sort of the sacrifices that we make. And I mean that in a bad way. Often people say, oh, I made these sacrifices and you're this like saintly person. But I mean, like we sacrifice our authenticity just to keep the peace. And I get that for those of us who do that, it's a coping mechanism and a way to maintain a sense of safety because we fear repercussions. And so I guess part of why I wanted to bring you on was just to be like, look, she went and followed her heart. And like, yeah, a few people were like, are you sure? But like, you know, nothing was destroyed. No bridges were burned. Nobody like, you know, threw tomatoes at her. it's just, you know, it stems from like those fears stem from, concerns that are based in untruths. Like it's just not true that, you know, we're not responsible for other people's emotional experiences. We have accountability to each other, you know, as fellow humans and in any sort of relationship. But, you know, if anything, the possibility of who you might inspire far outweighs the risk of those who might be offended by their own limiting worldviews, encountering your empowered freedom of expression. And I don't think you have given too much concern of other people's limiting worldviews and how they might get upset about you taking up too much space. And I don't know if you're aware of how many people you've inspired along your path, but you've very much inspired me. And I wanted to bring you here, as I said, to inspire a few more people. So thank you for doing that. It's like, I want to ask you a question that I don't know how, if you can answer, like, the question is like, what's it like to live without that flavor of fear of judgment? But I mean, if you've never had it, I don't know if you know how to answer.
Well, it's not entirely true that I don't fear judgment. I do.
Sure. But I mean that particular flavor of it though, you know what I mean?
I think I'm just really a spontaneous person. And I don't have time to think about it when it comes to certain things, when it comes to life experiences. Mm-hmm. I think the desire to experience them is so strong.
It overrides.
That it overrides anything. And where I do experience fear of judgment, I was just thinking about it while you were talking, mm-hmm. is I have a really good example, actually. Mm-hmm. In my late 30s, I was working at a particular fine dining restaurant. And I was hanging out with sort of a group of people who would be considered part of the cool kids of the restaurant scene in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, we were going out after work. It was like, I just happened to be hanging around with them at this particular moment. And I think I was out after work one night, it was a Friday night. And I had this like notion that I had to behave a certain way to fit in the group. Mm-hmm. And at some point it just, I don't know, a switch happened. And I literally just, it was like, I really realized I was being completely who I am with my family and my close friends. I something switched in my head and I was just responding and reacting in a very honest and authentic way. And I felt it. And what I felt that night, it was like so clear to me that the reaction I was getting from everyone was like a million times more. It was warmer. It was, people were just responding to me better. And so it was like a real like moment of understanding that I just have to be myself the way I am with everyone, period. And life will be much easier because there, I did have fear about how people would perceive me. If I was putting them a little bit on a pedestal, then I would have fear of how they would be perceiving me. And it was a clear moment for me. And I think I've pretty much kept my authenticity with everyone ever since.
That's wonderful. So, to have that kind of feedback, right?
That yeah. It was that, like that very confirming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Confirming, yeah. Affirming.
Same, both. Yes. And
yeah,
that's wonderful. Yeah, I think it's just, it's so important. It's, you know, life is full of trade-offs essentially. And for those of us who have, you know, more deeply ingrained fears of rejection, it's just, that's it. We just, that's the trade-off is that, that bit of discomfort in overcoming that fear, or not even the fear, but in some cases, like we do get rejected when we decide to like drop the facade and show up as ourselves. Sometimes people are like, oh, you're lame, or like, I don't actually like you. And it's like, oh, like that can really, you know, twist the knife a bit sometimes, but like, and it's so hard to face that fear. And you push through that discomfort. And on a side note, not all discomforts are necessary to be pushed through. Some of them are to be listened to, but particularly this one, you know, when you can sort of push through that fear and push through the pain and the discomfort of being rejected, when you find the people who really resonate with who you are and the expansion and the depth and the richness that comes out of that connection, it's so much more worth it. And I think most people who've experienced that, like they, whether or not they had to push through the fear, you know, getting to that experience, it's probably something you don't ever bother to go back on, you know? Like once you have that, you're like, oh yeah, no, this is totally worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a light bulb moment. And it's obviously very cemented. Like I've never questioned it since.
Yeah. Well, I want to unpack that a little bit more after one more break. So we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. And I have my guest, Michelle Ouellette, and we've been discussing braving fears of authenticity and the pros and cons. And we'll dig into it a little bit more when we come back. Stay tuned.
Tune in to Reinventing You with me, Danielle Silverman, on the second and fourth Monday each month at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. In today's world of ever-constant evolution, the only career change that matters is when what you do matches who you are. On Reinventing You, you'll find concrete tools to help you embrace change and feel optimistic and inspired about your future. It's your vision, your life. Be passionate about it.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show, Why Wait? Look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out with me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Basile and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
Do you find that your world is filled with chaos that's always trying to bring you down? What if I told you that your goal should not be to get rid of that chaos, but to harness it and become your higher self with it? I'm Gina Libido, your transformational coach, and I'm here to guide you on your ascension journey and soul awakening. Learn to anchor cosmic Christ light during my one-on-one and group sessions. To find out more, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org. And be in body, in power, and in soul.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B Method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
It's time to tap into your divine self through angelic guidance. Join your host, Cindy Smith, and co-hosts in the Angel Empowerment Show from I Can't to I Can, airing every Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn from four of the best angel empowerment practitioners in the field. Together, they will share experiential teachings and offer live on-air professional angel card readings and much more. For more information, visit CindySmithAEP.com.
Welcome back to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. You can find me at lovecoachmariya.com. And women looking for support in their daily practice of strengthening awareness and self-mastery are welcome to book a call with me to apply for the virtual ashram I facilitate called Peaceful Power Practice. My guest today is my friend and model self-expressionist, Michelle Ouellette. Before the break, we were discussing adventures in authenticity. And I wanted to dive in a little bit further about what it takes to overcome our fears and push through the discomfort of that rejection of the misaligned, because the trade-off in that is finding deeper connection with the people who are aligned with you, who do resonate with you. And what it takes to push through that is, or what it takes to experience that depth of connection is the authenticity, because there's sort of a definition of intimacy that is into me see. And it's this notion that you have to be a bit vulnerable and true in order to really be accepted as your true self. And so having an internally rooted security is what will give you the strength to brave that fear and discomfort and express your truth anyway, and allow the misaligned to fall away from you and your path. And it's knowing that you will always be there for yourself, and committing to no longer abandoning yourself to prevent others from abandoning you. That is what will be your anchor in the physiological storm that will be your nervous system's resistance to inviting rejection from others. And that's really what authenticity can feel like for a lot of people. It's like, oh man, if I just say what I'm thinking, like I'm gonna invite, you know, judgment, criticism, and rejection. But again, if you brave it, just, you know, if you're lucky just once, but maybe a few times, and you get to the other side, when we can overcome that hurdle, on the other side, what we find is the ability to come together with people who appreciate us, who welcome us, who believe in us, who support us. That's how we find our tribe. That's how we find the deeper connections that really help create fulfillment in our lives. And when we can show up to our romantic relationships already fulfilled, and just allowing the romance to be sort of icing on the cake and just not relying on one person to meet all of our social needs, because that can really amplify the fear of that person, you know, rejecting us or judging us or leaving us. And when you have a more robust support system of people who like truly see you and support you and have your back, if a guy doesn't, then it's a little bit less of a big deal. If that makes sense. And I also do understand that my experience is a childless one. And so I do get that things can be a little bit more complicated when children are involved. I'm curious, and we haven't talked about this, but what would you say, Michelle, has been your experience in terms of having a robust support system that helps you have less fear in terms of losing a romantic partner? Has that translated for you in that way?
Question. Yeah, we haven't ever discussed that, oddly enough.
Maybe in past times, because I do understand that as we age, our circle tends to shrink just kind of naturally, like lives get busier and fuller and our bandwidth for friends kind of shrinks a little bit. And so we just end up with a few very precious ones, but maybe at an earlier stage in life when you maybe had a bigger friend group.
Well, I mean, maybe I could say that, like, you have been someone that's been very supportive in just sort of knowing that you should listen, you know, when someone needs to express something, you provide space and you're able to receive me when I'm having difficulty. Not all my friends are able to do that. I think I've had to ask them. I've had to tell them, you know, right now I'm not looking for advice per se, but I really just would like to feel that you're supporting me. And I think that over time, both of my two close friends here in Montreal have come to understand that that's what I need. And they're not always in agreement with my decisions, but they love me. And I see they're really trying to provide that support. So it wasn't always the case. But it is now. I think it is now. And I think we need to be able to say that. We need to be brave enough to say to the person, you know, what happened this evening? Like, if you need to digest the evening and the next day go back, and which is what I did very recently. And I wrote to my friend saying, you know, the way things went in that particular evening, I need to get this off my chest. I really need to tell you this. This is how I feel. This is what I think. And she received it well. And I wasn't always able to do that. So, yeah.
It's kind of amazing when we can bring authenticity to our friendships too, and even our familial relationships. And, you know, I think this is where boundaries really start to come into play too. And not just the like the spiked walls, as I call them. But the types of boundaries that just say, you know, like this is what I'm available for. And it's almost more of the kind that are communicated through actions, so to speak, mm-hmm. Like just the way that we show up in our friendships. If we consistently, show up in the way that we kind of need to be supported and very kind of gently guide, mm-hmm. making a little adjustment there, very gently sort of guide our friends to the way that we feel more loved, can bring some authenticity, I think, to our friendships as well. And I think that in my observation of you with your friends, it seems that you have sort of like, I don't know, because I have a background in dog training, I want to say you've sort of like trained your friends, like how you are in friendship. And it's another kind of one of those risks on a very different level, but where, you know, we just sort of say like, no, look, this is how I am in friendship. And without coldly stating it, but essentially kind of like a take it or leave it type of thing. Like this is me. And, I think that, you know, circling back to that internally rooted security too, and like developing a strength of friendship with ourselves that we can keep coming back to, and knowing that we're not going to abandon ourselves. And so, you know, if we're misaligned for someone else, by all means, like let them go their way, let them stay on their aligned path. I'm not going to ask them to come off. You know, I'm not going to try and pull them out of alignment to be friends with me if they're not able to show up in the way that I need. And I'm not going to step off of my path either to try and, you know, meet them, because when either one or two people step off of their paths of alignment, then the whole thing is unstable and you're not able to have like a truly authentic connection, that kind where, you know, hearts open and vibes warm, and you know, you get to like really have that true experience of belonging and acceptance. I think that's really important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, my friend, for that short segment, we're going to take one more quick break, and then we are going to dive into a little bit more of the juicy bits of our friendship and how our own authenticity has really nurtured each of us, and some of the risks that we took early on with each other as well, and how it's really paid off. So you're listening to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah, and my friend Michelle Ouellette. And we are discussing authenticity, the pros and cons, the supposed cons, and the bountiful pros. We'll get more into it soon. Stay tuned.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told, so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to expand and move forward and create the love in your life that you truly desire and deserve? Specializing in consensually non-monogamous and polyamorous relationships, Elizabeth Cunningham works with all people who want to expand and grow the love they have in their lives. Contact Elizabeth for more information on love coaching, and applying for her online course, Love Deeper, at elizabethcunningham.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Welcome back to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind with me, Love Coach Mariah. You can find me online at lovecoachmariya.com. And women looking for support on their journeys of becoming secure in love are welcome to reach out for a free introductory coaching call. My guest today is my friend and brave soul, Michelle Ouellette. Before the break, we were discussing the benefits of authenticity, and we were just about to dive a little bit deeper into our own history. I actually met Michelle through Facebook. I was promoting my coaching services. And she actually, I think, found me through a random comment that I made on another post, which turned out to be a sponsored post. So it was getting a lot of circulation, and therefore my comment got a lot of visibility. And I ended up getting like 300 or 400 responses to it. And I realized that I needed to start a community around it. And that was the birth of the Empowered Compassion Facebook group. And essentially it was, on a quick side note, the post was a very common theme about, getting out of relationships that aren't really meeting your needs and, finding someone who deserves your love. And the underlying message in there is that the person you're with, the person that your heart has chosen, does not deserve your love. And another underlying like subliminal message in that is you're doing it wrong. You're not loving yourself enough. You're not enough. And the idea that the person that your heart has chosen doesn't deserve your love perpetuates the belief that we might not be deserving of love. And that's generally the problem that gets us in a relationship that's not aligned to begin with. And it's not to say that it's a good fit. It's not to say that you should stay with that person or that it's beneficial to either of you to stay there. But what I advocate for is empowering our compassion so that we can make sure that, whether what's aligned is leaving or leaning in, and if it's leaving, to do it in a way that is compassionate to both people without, victimizing ourselves and villainizing the other and playing the blame game. And then chances are ending up in a similar situation with the next person. So anyway, that was kind of what drew Michelle to me. My divergent from the like man bashing theme out there, and my encouragement to take personal responsibility for your situation and find a way to, to navigate things with a bit more grace. Anyway, we spoke, and I was putting myself out on a limb and like pitching my coaching services. And she was like, yeah, that sounds really great, but I can't really afford coaching at this time. And I was like, well, you know what? I like you so much that we should just stay friends anyway. So I was like, well, I don't care. I don't care if you can't pay me. Like, can we just keep talking anyway? Like, not today, but like ongoing. So yeah, we just stayed in touch and like we were instantly friends, I think, from that first call.
Yeah, we were. It was very mutual. And we've never met in person. That's actually really, it's funny. I've never experienced this before, but I'm looking forward to the day we will.
One day, one of these days it'll happen. I should point out, this was in February of 2020, right? Right before the pandemic started, I think, right?
Actually, wasn't it? I'm not good with dates, so I'll trust you on that. But it was definitely before COVID, yes.
Yeah, but like surprisingly briefly. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was only
months.
Yeah, a minimum or at most a couple of months before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you're all the way up in Montreal and I'm way down here in Austin, Texas. And my dog is walking around all noisy.
Well, hopefully Ian and I will make it out to see you. That would be fun.
That would be fantastic. And I was in Montreal 6 months before I met you.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I didn't remember that bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I had taken a trip up, just like road tripping through Canada. And I think I remember sometime after I met you, I was like, had I known you then, I would have been like, hey, we should get together. But as it was, I think that it's very safe to say that we both were very true to ourselves and our authenticity. And that was a big reason why we connected so quickly.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, we became close quickly as mm-hmm. well. Like it was, I know during the pandemic we spoke, I was speaking to you maybe even more than I was speaking to my two closest girlfriends here. You know, mm-hmm. it was, yeah. So yeah, we've definitely, it was a hit. It was a match.
Would you say it's safe to say that the more authentic you are, the quicker like decisions are made, so to speak, like you more instantly know if someone's not aligned or if they are?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I would definitely say, yeah, you learn a lot of things faster. And you know, I'm pretty authentic with most people. And if somebody is not, if I feel that they're just really holding back a lot, well, I think, yeah, I know pretty quickly that it's probably not going to gel, but I think when you're open, most people are receptive to that in some way.
It tends to encourage it in the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can sort of chat with most people, like someone I meet on the bus or in the bus stop or walking down a street or in a store or, that's, you know, I do work in the restaurant business still to this day. And of course it's part of who I am. So it's, you know, it's easy for me to do that, to just start up conversations, but most people are receptive. I think humans want that, you know, mm-hmm. I think we all want that.
Yes. And it's safe to say that I think a lot of us have mixed feelings about things. You know, I think there's a lot of things that we want and fear at the same time. And I think that it's kind of at the heart of insecure attachment too, is, you know, we want love and fear love at the same time.
Yeah,
and I think we all, you know, we want to be seen, but we're afraid to be seen. And
yeah, it's more complex than what I said. That's for sure.
When you have a nice internal rooting, I think part of the reason those sort of decisions are made more quickly is because as soon as you notice that they're out of alignment, you're so committed to your alignment that you're not going to try and like bend to them. And you're just like, oh, nope, this is not a match. Cool. Have a great life. You go your way. I'm going to go my way, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I work in a restaurant right now. It's a farm to table, like neighborhood restaurant. And I work with a lot of younger people. And you know, on some, it's funny because they're talking about music that I don't necessarily know about, or they're talking about, they're using even vocabulary that I'm not really aware of, but it's fun to be in that environment at the same time. And they often, you know, don't know my age, or if they find out, they're like, what? That's not possible. But I think that there's a way to connect with most people. I think that you just need to be curious enough to see the person in front of you, and you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at what points of connection you can find. And I think that that's kind of the beauty of life. Sorry, you were saying?
No, you just got to open up a little. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, this has been quite a delight. And before we wrap things up, I wonder if you might tell us, Michelle, what is one way you could empower your compassion, perhaps just a little bit further?
I think I need to join your ashram because I need help with discipline. And I like to meditate, but it's something I kind of do in a very sort of loose way. I need a little bit of structure. And I think that's where the ashram would probably help me a lot. Yeah.
Thank you anytime.
That's what I need to work on.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. As a reminder, I can be found at lovecoachmariah, spelled MARIYA.com. And I do lead a free online community for women navigating the challenges of insecure relationships in the Facebook group Empowered Compassion and at empoweredcompassion.community as well. I also facilitate a virtual ashram, as Michelle was just alluding to, for women working to build the foundations of an authentically aligned life and a balanced interdependent relationship. And that's called Peaceful Power Practice. Any woman can ask me about enrollment. It is for women only. All of my groups are specifically. My standing offer is one-on-one coaching for women seeking guidance and tools for relational health. The first call is on me. Reach out anytime via Facebook, my website, or email me at connect@lovecoachmariah.com. And with that, my friends, I bring this whole journey to its conclusion. This is the final episode in my 12-episode series of Becoming Secure in Love. Thank you all for joining me. And thank you, Michelle, for sharing yourself with us and unpacking these heart-centered topics with me today, and for helping me close out this series. To all my listeners, my deepest gratitude. And I'm Love Coach Mariah, and you are loved.
Thank you for listening to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for an ample set of practical tools that will help you develop internally rooted security, the foundation of a balanced interdependent relationship. You'll also learn how to empower your compassion, which will alchemize the soul and transform any relationship. Learn more at LoveCoachMariah.com. That's LoveCoach, MARIYA.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.